we're going to start dealing with end time prophecy and those kind of things. This is for Jeff. So I'm going to do four or five part series on this. And I am no expert, but there are some things you need to know. I believe the Bible is laid out pretty clear in a dispensational form. The cross, the catching up, the tribulation, the thousand-year reign of Christ, the great white throne judgment. That's the New Testament, basically. And put in the book of Acts here, big parentheses. I'm going to kind of erase this area right here and put in Romans through Philemon and then Hebrews through Revelation over here. Now, everybody that I know wants to deal in the book of Revelation. They want to figure it out. But I'm going to tell you how to figure it out. I'm not going to figure it out for you. You're bright enough to do that. But what I'm going to do is I want to go to, if you will, go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm going to tell you how to figure out everything you need to figure out. I've been listening to some people preach on Daniel 9. I was asked to listen to these DVDs, and he's about as confused as anyone I've ever seen. And I think that the basics, what you do not want to do when you're dealing with times and end times, is confuse what you know for what you don't know. You all understand? Well, I didn't say anybody, name-wise. And I've been listening. I got two more of the DVDs to go, and then he's trying to lay out time in the Bible, and I think there's some error in what he does. But having said that, I do believe there's time in the Bible. And I believe there's approximately 4 days, if you'll give me the grace, I'm not going to go into that tonight. The 4 days are 4,000 years of the Old Testament. There's approximately 2,000 years of grace, and there's a 1,000-year reign over here. We know that. 4, 2 is 6, and 7. 7 completes a week. That's a week of years. 1 day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is 1 day. That's what Peter says. And so I can count time in the Bible. But how do you figure it out for you? Well, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7, the Bible says this: consider what I say, and the Lord will give thee understanding in all things. Then what is the object that our job is to do? Consider what Paul said. That is, in the light of what Paul says. In the light of what Paul says. And so, I could take that just the reverse. I can't allow, Paul didn't have charts up there trying to figure out the time. He wasn't counting time. He never told you to count time. I mean, you know, you don't have to worry about time, in a sense. The thief is not going to overtake you. That's what the Bible says. And so you don't have to worry. Yeah, people do worry and they fret and they get all nervous about the end times. The end times are... So I believe you've got to do everything in consideration. Now, I want to lay down some fundamentals tonight to build upon. And we're going to start adding. We're going to go deeper and deeper, and I may lose some of you. That's okay. Don't worry about that. It's not. You'll get the basics as we get started. And if we get too deep above your head, don't worry. Somebody will catch it, and we'll do it again somewhere down the road. But in 13 books, Paul never once, not in 13 books of Romans through Philemon, not one single time does he ever prepare you to go through the tribulation. Never preps you to look for the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet. He never tells you any of those things to look for. He never tells you to bless a Jew. Never says any of those things. Not in 13 books. And so there's some very simple statements that I believe that you have to consider when considering the Word of God. Look, if you will, in chapter 3. Are y'all in 2 Timothy?
Yes.
Chapter 3, verse 1. This know also that in the last days perilous time shall come. Now, I didn't say you're going to go through tribulation. What did it say?
Perilous times.
Why? For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers. Well, we're living in those days. Amen?
Amen.
Those days are here. And so, in a lot of them, verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, verse 7, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Y'all with me? So, I believe that Paul was preparing Timothy for the last days of grace. And when we talk about the last days of grace, we're talking about this aspect right there. Now, the word rapture is definitely not in the Scriptures. You can search it. It is not. And I understand that. 1 Thessalonians 4, but this phrase is in the Bible, verse 17. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 17, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And I want to go back up to the first part. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. That word, caught up, is the same word as you would use for rapture. In fact, if you looked up rapture in a dictionary, you know what it would say? Caught up. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 17. Now, do you all understand? I believe in a catching out. I believe there are multiple hopes. One for the church, one for the priesthood, and one for the Gentiles. Three hopes. I believe that they're very defined in Scriptures. We're going to go far above what? All heavens. The priesthood are the heavenly priesthood, and then the earth is the earthly calling, which would be the Gentiles, and on and on. I believe there's three hopes. So when we talk about last times and last days, you've got to understand the hope. Paul tries to tell you to do that in Ephesians. Go to Ephesians. He tries to tell you to consider the hope. Go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. Watch this. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and the revelation and the knowledge of Him, that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling. Do you all see that? You need to underline that. What is the hope of His calling? For us, it's the catching up of 1 Thessalonians 4. So you want to write in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16 and 17 right there in your Bible. So, do you all understand, he's telling you to know what is the hope of your calling. Why? Because you don't want to mix up which calling you're in, because you would think differently of where you're going to end up. Now, go if you will, to Romans chapter 5. Talking about last days, we're considering what Paul said. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 9. Much more than being now justified by His blood. How are we justified? By our good works?
No.
By His what?
Blood.
We shall be saved from wrath through Him. Are we going to be saved from wrath?
Yes.
Are we going to be saved through wrath?
No.
From wrath. You may want to take your Bible pen out and write these two little notes right here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10, and 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 9. Now we're going to go to 1 Thessalonians 1:10 right now, and 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 9. 1:10 and 5 verse 9. In 1 Thessalonians 1, look if you will in verse 10 now. By the way, 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 10, what are you going to put? Romans chapter 5 verse 9. When you get there. 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 10, you're going to put Romans chapter 5 verse 9 there. 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 10, and the Bible says, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Delivered us from the wrath to come. You are not going to go, if you're saved here tonight, through the wrath of God. Y'all with me? You are not going to go through it. There's people confused whether they're going to go through it. You are not going to go through it. But it's a fun read. Just not true. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath. Everybody read that with me. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath. but obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. We are a mystery. There's nothing about prophecy here at all. Y'all understand? There's no prophecy involved here. It's a mystery. Even the catching out is a mystery. Nobody even knew of that in the Old Testament. It's a mystery. Go to 1 Corinthians 15. Well, I'm just about done, so you're going to have a short night. In 1 Corinthians 15, look, if you will, in verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be what?
Changed.
In a moment, in the twinkle of an eye. One prophesied that there's going to be this church that was going to be his body, that was going to leave the planet Earth. This church was a mystery. The hope of the church is a mystery. In a moment, in the twinkle of an eye, what shall happen? The dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together and meet the Lord in the air. That's a mystery. Wasn't prophesied in the Old Testament. You can't find that there's this church that was developed after the cross. You can't find anything about this church. There's nothing about the church in prophecy. Nothing. Were there some hints to it in the sense of time? Yeah, he talked about in Hosea 6 verse 2, after 2 days, we shall be revived again the third day and on and on. Hosea 6 2 represents that. But in real sense, nothing's really mentioned about the church. Why?
It was a mystery.
It was a mystery. And so the hope's a mystery and all that. So most of the churches, their confusion with the last days comes from trying to mix body truth with prophecy truth. You understand? They mix these together and they don't know what to do when they get down here. Y'all understand? Because they mix it up here, they have to mix it up down here, and then they're confused. And thus the confusion. But what did Paul say? Consider what I say, and the Lord will give the understanding in what?
All things.
Well, when you take just what Paul says so far, has it been very difficult? How many here think that they're going through the wrath of God? Anybody?
No.
How many here thought at 2000 that the tribulation might be coming on, or knew somebody who thought that? Why did they think that? Because they have no clue what's really going on in the Bible. And so what do they operate on? Fear. And what takes away fear?
Knowledge.
Knowledge takes away fear. Terry, can I use you for example? Terry's been fighting this stuff all over his body. He'd become quite the, I called him Job Jr. And the only difference between Terry is his wife didn't come out and say, curse God and die. But outside of that, he was in the ashes pouring all kinds of potions and lotions on him. And what did I tell you? It was yeast. You have a severe yeast. Oh, you've done everything you could herbally. What should you do? I said, go to the doctor. Now, I don't believe in just running to doctors just to run. But occasionally, after you've tried alternative things for 3 or 4 months and he was suffering, he actually got irritable. If you can imagine Terry being irritable. That's hard to imagine. So tonight we're up here playing, and he's like in a good mood. You know why? He's feeling better. Because he knows what it was. He didn't know if he had cancer. And what happens when you don't know what you got? Fear. Frustration and fear. But once you know, it's like, oh, man, am I glad I didn't have that, you know? So, and I kept trying to tell him that Lisa was trying to poison him with rat poison, but he wouldn't listen. No, I'm just joking. I said, you need to go to a doctor. Once the doctor told him, he gave him one pill, basically cleared it up. Now, he'd been suffering for how long? Long time. Well, I bet he feels better now, and I bet he's less worried about his health right now. So it is with Bible truth. The more you know, the less you're worried. But there's people that don't know what's going on, and so they're constantly in fear, and they're operating based upon fear. And if they knew what was happening in Scripture, they just take a bit. Come on, everybody take a deep breath. Just relax. You know, you're either saved here today or you're lost.
Amen.
It ain't like you're in between. You're not stretched between it. And the end, what?
There's no straddle fencing on
there. There's no fence straddling here. The realization is that Paul is very clear to what is going on in the Scripture. He has told you now 3 times there is a mystery coming. There's going to be a shout, the voice of the archangel. And we're going to go up and we're going out. We're not appointed under wrath. Go to Galatians chapter 1. Now, we're talking about the last days. And the reason I'm doing this first is because of this tape. Verse 4, Galatians 1, verse 4. Who gave himself for our sins. Well, that's a great thing, isn't it?
Amen.
You know what I would have outside of that note right there in my Bible? 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. And Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. That's what I would have. 13 and 14. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. That's what I'd have in my Bible. Who gave himself for our sins. That, the reason he gave it for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world. Is he going to deliver you from this world?
Yes.
You are leaving the planet. You're not going to stick around. Your hope is not the earth. Your hope is not a kingdom. Your hope, and so, you know, people get all been out of shape because they don't know whether they should store up food. How many here know people that don't know whether they're going through the tribulation or not? I know people right now that have no clue what's going on. They're scared, you know, or you don't know. Oh, he's one of them. We got one. That's all right. You're going to figure it out. Why? The scriptures tell us. Now,
Barry.
Yes.
We had a friend that lived next door to us.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, 2000, they actually had, their church made them buy grains of rice, grains of wheat, and they had 50-pound sacks under all the beds so they could live for, you know, ever how long they felt like that would let them live, you know, because of, you know. And it was the church that was making them do it.
See, guys, I would tell you that what Wayne just said is probably true of most because they really don't know what's going on. Now, I don't know everything that's going on. I know most, but not everything. You guys are shocked, aren't you, that I don't know it all. But I do know what's going on. So over the next few weeks, we're going to name everybody in the Bible, what they go through, and what they're going to go through. Not just their salvation, like that chart that we did was just their salvation. We're going to go through what do they go through. And it may take me a few weeks. We're going to mark out time. The biggest thing about dispensationalism is this is Adam, and you count time from Adam. And you can count time all the way through the Bible by Adam. And there is a time when it comes to the prophecy of Daniel that you have time that is given out. Now, where that time starts, I'm going to let you figure it out. I'm going to lay out a couple theories. I'm not saying that I know, but there's only a few that fit. Okay? So I'm not going to be the Mr. Expert, but I'm going to bring you some thoughts to think on and pray about. And I believe, in my personal belief, that there are 7 years of tribulation. It never talks about 7 years of tribulation. It talks about the last week of Daniel. Well, most of the tribulation and Jacob's trouble is 3.5 years. That's when all hell breaks loose on the earth.
When they shall say peace and safety, then cometh the sudden destruction.
Absolutely. So we're going to get into that. Now, how far we'll get tonight, probably not a real in-depth. Why? I want you to take what Paul says first and get it buried in your mind so you're not confused. Why? Where are we supposed to get our information from?
Paul.
From Paul. Who's the teacher and preacher of the Gentiles?
Paul.
Now, it is fascinating to me that if we were going through and they were handing out the mark of the beast, that our apostle, our teacher, our preacher would say, you know what? You need to not take this mark. Y'all understand? If we were going through a period of time in which the mark was being offered, don't you think in 13 books that our apostle would say, don't do that?
Yeah, because he warns us of a lot of stuff.
He does warn us, but he doesn't say that.
No.
That's interesting, isn't it?
He does warn us about doctrine, though.
He does warn us of doctrine. And the falling away and a lot of things.
You know what's funny is I knew you were doing this sermon tonight. This morning while I was driving to work, Chuck Swindoll was doing the same exact thing. He was going through Daniel and he was telling about
who's done a better job so far.
Yeah, he was talking about the mark of the beast and all that and how it was fixing to come. You know, already whenever you're getting your groceries, you know, they just scan a thing and
you got Social Security.
Yep, it's getting close. For why do we know that it's getting close?
But you're saying we won't be here.
Yeah, isn't it fascinating that your preacher and teacher and apostle never mentions it one time?
I mean, the whole world is marked for that.
Let me tell you, we have gotten into a global banking system. Now, some of this stuff's going to happen before we leave. Y'all, perilous times shall come. Perilous meaning rough.
How rough was it for the first century
Christians? Rough. Bring them out. We got another lion that's hungry. I don't know how bad. But it won't be the tribulation. How do I know that? Romans chapter 5, verse 9, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 10, and 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 9. That's how I know. Because God said it. How do I know? Romans chapter 5, verse 9. Everybody. Romans chapter 5, verse 9, 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 10, and 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 9. That's why I know. Now, let's try. I know this is baby food for you, but someone might be watching who it won't be. I just want them to know that Paul is our apostle, teacher, and preacher. So we're going to run through these quick. Go to Romans 11, verse 13. We're going to turn quickly so everybody get their fingers ready to go. We're going to head toward the back of the Bible. Romans 11, verse 13. For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office. Who's the apostle? Paul. Romans 15, verse 16. That I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the what? Gentiles. Ministering up the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable and sanctified by the Holy Ghost. That's important. Amen? Most people try to consider what Jesus said or what Daniel said or what Ezekiel said, not in the light of what Paul said. I'm so proud of you. That's good. You're getting some of this, aren't you? It's weird, isn't it? Like little pieces of the puzzle start coming together and you go, aha. Where was I? 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7. Whereunto I'm ordained a preacher and apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. Is he the teacher? Yes, he is. 2 Timothy chapter 1,
verse 11.
Good. Whereunto I'm appointed a preacher and apostle and a teacher of the what? So, now, wouldn't it be weird if God, the Lord Jesus Christ, sent Paul, called Paul, and sent Paul out to teach us that we were going through the tribulation in 13 books he never mentioned it? That'd be a little weird, wouldn't it? They're going through the tribulation, just don't tell them.
That'd be right.
God would be a ripoff.
It'd be a surprise.
They're probably a little more like, ah! But, you know, you all understand?
Well, that would make a crucifixion more effective.
Well, and it would also break Scripture.
Right.
Not one time. So when you start to consider the end times, I want you to keep all this in mind as we go forth discussing it. Why? Because people can confuse you all kinds of ways. He never said dodge the mark. Are they going to be handing out the mark?
During tribulation.
Absolutely. Go to Revelation 13. It is part of an economy. Verse 4, Revelation 13. He will say, well, you rightly divide. You don't believe in teaching the whole Bible. That's baloney. We probably teach more of the whole Bible than most churches teach. We just don't believe it's all written to us. Verse 13, Revelation 13, verse 13. Now, there's one thing you know. That can't be good. Amen? And he, who's the he? He's the beast. Verse 12. Of the first beast before him, he has a deadly wound, and he doth great wonders so that he make fire come down from heaven. Do we know that signs are not for us?
Yes, right.
How do we know?
The Jews require
the sign. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22, I would put there. Right? I mean, come on. We know, and who's coming after the workings of Satan? The Antichrist. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9, 10, and 11. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 9, 10, and 11, right there in Revelation 13, 13. Revelation 13, 13, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, and 1 Corinthians 1, verse 22. Huh?
2 Thessalonians 2.
Yeah, 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 9, 10, and on and on. Now, Revelation 13, 13. He maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Verse 14. And he deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles. How is he going to deceive them? How many people believe in signs today? Wouldn't that be wild if someone came on the sign that could do real signs?
Mm-hmm.
I watched Jeff do magic down here. We were filming them the other day. And it's pretty good. You know, you're like, wow, that's pretty good. But I know he's faking it. He said magicians are nothing more than professional liars. I would make a good one. Huh? Legitimate liar. You're also pretty good at it. Fantastic liar. Y'all with me? Well, this guy is a liar. And he's using miracles to make them believe that he is God. Now, I know that for a fact. Verse 14. And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had a wound by the sword and did live. And he gave power to give life unto the image of the beast. The image comes alive. That's got to be pretty awesome. You build up an idol, his image, and all of a sudden the image becomes alive.
I know a guy that works with us. He believes in psychics and evil spirits, and ghosts, you know. And I was kind of explaining to him that, you know, it's the devil wanting you to believe that. He wants you to think that.
Absolutely. Everybody goes somewhere when they die, and they ain't being released until it's time.
And that there is people out there that, not all of them psychics, but it's their way of manipulating you to think that it's something good, and, you know.
And it's all based upon human goodness. It is. That's exactly right. You're hitting it right on, Jeff.
I wonder why I left behind didn't hit on that.
Yeah.
Image came to life.
Yeah, well, just hang tight. You ain't got it all yet. You'll be freaked out. Verse 16, and he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. Now, isn't that fascinating? If we were going to be caught in this period of time that Paul didn't say, hey, there's going to be a little bit of mark hanging around, don't you be taking it. Not one time in 13 books does he say that. Now, you got to shake your head and go, wow. Go ahead, you can say wow.
Wow.
That's pretty impressive. Because if we were going through, and he doesn't tell you, he's ripping you off.
Mm-hmm.
He's the preacher, the teacher, the minister of the Gentiles. In faith and verity, he's the guy that's given the counsel of God to you, but he doesn't tell you to flee the mark. That's interesting, isn't it? You do not, hey, come on, guys. People are all messed up. Amen? And they're wandering through this world without any knowledge. And you know what he said in Hosea? My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. They're all confused. They have no idea what's going on.
Barry, it's like that guy that comes on at 5 o'clock every morning from Arkansas. He says you're not even going to have a mark in your forehead. It's going to be in your brain, and it's just a thought. It's not really a mark. And he won't even admit the mark in your hand.
In your hand.
He said it's in the head, but it's not a physical mark. It's in your brain. It's the thought that's in your brain is what he's saying.
I would turn him off.
Oh, yeah. Well, I gave you the tape, because
I wanted
the tape, and it's...
What are you doing up at 5 in the morning?
Well, he's got a dog.
No, when I was sick, I woke up.
Don't believe he gets up every morning.
No, I don't. Not anymore. It was just back when I wasn't feeling good.
So go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. Who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. Now, that's very important. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Is his church at hand? Yes. And is it working? Yes, it is. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way, and the he would be the body of Christ. And then shall the wicked be what?
Revealed.
So what's going to happen? We're going to leave, and what's going to happen? The wicked will be revealed. Now, is the mystery of iniquity already working?
Yes.
Yeah, but when we leave, then he will be revealed. And who will they think he is?
The Christ.
Look at verse 4. And exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Is he God?
No.
No,
but how could he deceive them?
By signs and...
By the means of those miracles, I would put Revelation 13 and 14. 13 and 14 right there. Now, I'm building a very slow case. Why? Because if you don't get this down, when we get into deep things, you may get lost. But don't forget the simple things that I've taught you, okay? Don't forget the simple things for the hard things. If you don't get the hard things, it's okay. But if you miss the simple things, you're in trouble. Does that make sense? So, the last days. Now, notice also in verse 9. Yes?
A lot of people think Obama's the Antichrist.
How many here have heard that Obama's the Antichrist? You guys.
I even found an email on my thing that showed a bunch of bumper stickers for 2008 election, and one of them had this picture on there talking about Antichrist.
I will teach. I wrote a book on the Antichrist.
I personally think Oprah's the Antichrist.
That could be possible.
I wrote a book on the Antichrist. I will get it out and maybe make copies of it. I never did actually publish it. And there's 18 types of the Antichrist. Isn't that fascinating? Guys, listen, let me tell you. People haven't got a clue what's going on. I do think he's probably alive. Why can't he be revealed? If Obama was the Antichrist, would we be gone?
Yep.
He's not. Would Oprah? No, we're not gone. What's going to happen? The body of Christ, shall be taken out of the way, and then shall the what? Wicked be revealed. Why? We're not appointed unto wrath.
Well, hopefully right before the election's over, we'll be called up.
Guys.
No, that's good.
This is a good reason why to study our Bible.
Amen.
That's
probably an Assyrian, too.
He's probably an Assyrian Jew.
Mm-hmm.
Probably. And his religion probably will be Roman Catholic, I would bet. Now,
hear that he was a homosexual.
I don't know that. There's no evidence in the Word of God of that. Unless you got a chapter or verse.
He will be vile.
He will be vile. But he will really come off as righteous.
Who cares?
He will be impressive of a very incredible human being. I mean, think about it. They're going to think he's God, guys. Yeah, I mean, Obama's a great guy, but he ain't the Antichrist. Probably isn't coming from the United States, boys and girls. Probably coming from over in the Middle East, probably.
Somebody that everyone the least thinks.
Oh, absolutely. Guys, listen to me. It's funny how people think. I heard that of New Orleans. That God brought Katrina to kill the homosexuals.
Yeah.
Here's a fact. God would save that homosexual if they would trust Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Hey, listen, if God is wiping any sin out, why not adultery? There's a few. And can you imagine? Washington, D.C. would be thinned out. Amen?
Amen.
How about right here?
How about Hollywood?
San Francisco?
I mean, you see, all that is garbage. God is not judging the world today. What did he do? He judged his son.
His son became sin.
Now, eventually, grace is going to come then in, and wrath is coming. Y'all understand? And that's a real division. That's hard to deal with. Okay.
Don't accept it.
Okay, there are 19.95. Gary just said we have two orders for your books. We're selling them on for 19.95. No, we'll try to get you a copy.
How much is that big?
Yeah, you could probably make copies. It's like 40 or 60 pages, something like that. Well, yeah, but it's front and back, so 40 pages would be 10 pages. Your wife made copies the first time. Your ex-wife, now. She was the one that originally made the copies. I'll teach on that, and while we teach on it, we'll get it out. Now, back to 2 Thessalonians for just a minute, and then we're going to end a little early, I think, because I don't want to get into Daniel yet, because it's just too complicated to get started with one or two words. Might be good. Can you make that happen?
Barry, I've got the color one I've been working on.
All right, well, bring me a copy.
Well, I don't have a printer, sir, so all I can do is...
Well, email it.
I will. Okay. I've emailed it to you.
Well, yeah, but I had it downloaded on my iPhone, and it was, like, too small to read. All right, I've got one. I just can't find it. But some other people want it, so we'll get it in color and get it to you. Now, Because we're going to go over that over the next few weeks, and in the terms of how it lays out in time. Because really, that's what we're talking about. Model, go ahead.
Black and white, the air is pressed across, and you can't tell the colors. You can see what's going on, but it's all blends together.
If you approve mine, Barry, we'll get it up on the website so the people on the internet can download it.
Yeah, it's not that.
Yeah, but you know, you've got to approve it. I will.
Okay. All right, let's go back to 2 Thessalonians. Verse 9, a verse I mentioned, but I wanted to read now. Even him who is coming after the working of Satan, how is he going to do it? With all power and signs and lying wonders. How is he going to deceive the church? By all power and signs and lying wonders. Are you going to trust what you see? Or are you going to trust what you hear in the Word of God? We walk by faith and not by
sight.
How many people are trusting their sights? Well, I saw that person get healed.
We consider what Paul says.
And we consider what Paul says. The Jews require a sign. So if someone comes up and performs a miracle in front of you, are you going to trust that?
No,
because you know the Word of God.
You're going to try the spirits.
You know the Word of God. You're not going to be deceived. Why? The Jews require a sign. Why would God be doing miracles for the Gentile church? Say, well, I believe God can heal. God can heal. But God isn't laying people's hands on people to get them healed. If he needs them healed or he needs them to keep going, he'll do it. But you know.
No, he did.
Absolutely. But you know what? Paul went to the Lord 3 times and the Lord didn't heal him. Had a messenger of Satan going around, poke, 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 poking Paul everywhere he went. Oh, yes, because he was involved with getting the Jews saved. Part of the mystery that you talked about are the two mysteries. And so, all of this, you've got to understand, what's going to start happening in the last days? Well, in the last 50 years, what has happened with signs and healing in the church?
It's increasing.
Isn't that weird?
It starts increasing, so you won't be able to tell the difference.
Isn't that a little weird?
Mm-hmm. You mean I'm going to get a bottle of olive oil?
Since it started about 100 years ago.
Just increase slowly. Go ahead.
I'm kind of not understanding. It seems to me like that's what he's doing here is warning us of.
Well, he is. He's not warning you why. He's just telling you what's going to happen.
Yeah, he's telling you what's going to happen.
You're going to leave before he is revealed.
Well, like in 12, verse 12 says that they all might be damned who believe not in truth and have
faith.
That's the ones that don't believe. They hear the gospel and reject, and they go into the
kingdom. Saved, you need to get saved now.
Yeah, he's warning you to get saved.
Those are the ones left behind.
Yes.
The sooner the better.
I'm going to deal with that in a little more detail. Coming up when we get the chart. And by the way, Gary and Bobby and all you guys on the internet, we'll try to get it up on the internet so you can download a copy for the classes.
Well, if you want to know what the strong delusion is, it has to do with
the Antichrist.
Yeah, the miracles. He did in the sight of men. They go, wow, you must be God. So they go, there's God.
Now,
can he kill and come back to life?
The beast is killed, and then he gives, the Antichrist gives life onto the beast that was dead and lives, and onto the image.
It sounds to me like we're going to see the Antichrist.
No. You know that for verses. Until he, end of verse 7, he, the body of Christ, be taken out of the way, and then shall that wicked be revealed. See that? And I'll explain that in the next part of that. Now, the confusion. There are verses over here that they get mixed up with over here. That causes the mix-up over here. That causes people to be confused. But if they rightly divided, knowing what part of the Bible was written to them, would they get that part mixed up?
No.
How many churches do you know are mixed up?
Most of them.
Now, there may be some that are saved. Amen. There are people that are saved in other churches, right?
Amen.
But they're confused. I'm going to prove this to you. I've got permission to ask some questions going into a church, and I'm having to ask his congregation. Simple question. And I guarantee you they're confused. How many Gospels are there is going to be one of the questions. How much you want to bet I get one? Should we follow Paul or Jesus? How much you want to bet they say Jesus?
No.
Was Paul one of the 12 apostles?
No.
I bet you there'll be some that will say, yeah. They don't know what's going on. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse end of 7, 8, explains it before you get down there. You have to read things in context. John 4, you brought up verse 24. Did you read it? Salvation is of the Jew. We know, I mean, that explains the passage. People don't read the context. Now, I do line upon line, precept upon precept, but I expect you to go home and study it. I'm not expecting you to take me hook, line, and sinker and say, oh, Barry's brilliant, although I am. I expect you to go home and study it.
You know, it's kind of fascinating, too, with, he says in verse 6 there, he says, now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in this time. And when you go to Daniel, now we're not going to Daniel yet, but in Daniel talks about times.
Times, and half time. Yeah.
Time.
Yeah. And I might add, who is he that, and ye know what withholdeth. What is withholding him? What's withholding?
The body.
The body of Christ. Until he, that which withholdeth, he be taken out of the way. And then shall the wicked. So what's withholding the Antichrist right now? We are the church.
That's a male group.
Absolutely.
Body. And then the woman.
In Revelation.
Well, actually two women.
Yeah. You all understand? So guys, we are holding back the Antichrist until our work gets done. What's our work?
Fill the body
up. To fill the body up. How do we do that? By preaching the mystery of the gospel, the grace of God, that what? Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, that he rose again the third day. Man, listen, and you are forgiven of all of your sins.
Amen. For us.
Not appointed to wrath.
We're not appointed to wrath. Why? Who took our wrath?
Christ.
Jesus Christ took our wrath. Would there be any reason for you to go through the wrath of God?
No.
Would it purify you?
No.
See, it talks about a purification by fire. Peter talks about it. Being tried with fire. In the last days, why do you have to be tried? Jesus Christ was tried for you. Jesus Christ took the wrath of God for you. So why would God allow you to go through the wrath of God? So when we're talking about the last days, how do I know I'm not going through the wrath? Jesus Christ took my wrath for me. And by the way, I was made, the moment I trusted Jesus Christ, the righteousness of God.
Amen.
How am I going to get any more righteous than that, even if I am tried by fire? No way can I be perfected. I am complete in Him. Boy, isn't that powerful.
Amen.
That is good stuff. That almost makes you shout, doesn't it, brother? I mean, you know, come on. The reality is, when you know those things, when we start to lay out the time, don't get confused. Why? God has not appointed you to wrath. He appointed His Son, Jesus Christ, for you.
Amen.
Boy, that's good. Kevin?
Why do you feel it's important to go through the time?
Do what?
What is the purpose of the importance of going through this and knowing?
Well, because the people you're going to come out and talk to are going to be confused. And unless you know all the knowledge, it's just like studying baptism. We can teach the one baptism that's right for the church. But unless you know all of them, someone may come in and say, well, you don't know about 1 Corinthians 15:29. And you know what I'd say? Yeah, I do. Let's turn there. Well, how about Luke chapter 12? I know that one too. I'm prepared. So you need to know all the doctrine throughout the Word of God. And by the way, how did Paul expect you to get it? Consider what I say, and the Lord will give the understanding in how many things?
All things.
Then what you've got to do is consider it in the light of Paul's epistle.
Oh, that's right.
So, all right, Gary, we'll try to get those books out to you once we make some more copies. And appreciate you watching tonight. If y'all have any questions, let me know.